God's grace and his peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. As I mentioned at the beginning of our worship service, we're beginning a sermon series on the Lord's Prayer, a prayer that which most people know or probably have heard from time to time. Because too often in our lives, we go through this prayer praying it, but sometimes we lose sight of the means. Now, I will admit, during our confirmation days, we go through the Lord's Prayer petition by petition, with the introduction being "Our Father who art in heaven." But before we grab all those words, we have to actually start with the first word. The first word, "our." Now, this may sound kind of strange that I'm going to probably preach a whole sermon on "our." Well, I will admit I'm going to add the next word, which is "Father." But actually, the first word, just a little side note, in the Greek New Testament, was not "our." It was actually "Father." The way that would best be translated is "Father of ours." But for the sake that most of us don't pray this prayer in Greek, let's go on with the English version. First, the word "our." Do we have a hang-up with the concept of "ours"? Well, to be honest with you, let's put it this way. If someone gave you a gift, do you say that this is my gift? Most of us would say, using the word "mine," denoting possession. What happens when someone gives you a gift and then expects you to share that gift with those around? One of the customs I remember growing up as a little boy was whenever we had those special family reunions, I had an uncle who would always come bringing a special gift for the family, and that was a gift of chocolates. So whenever we were at our family's grandmother's house, he would always have a special family box of chocolates to share. But he also knew how to survive very well in the household since he married into the household. He brought a very special small box of chocolates. You guessed it. For Grandma. You could not forget Grandma. She had her own that no one could touch. Now let's use this as a concept, the difference between "our" and "my." The difference is very clearly, especially with those two boxes of chocolates, the big box was the "our" box. The small one was the "my" box. See, too often in our own lives, we get so caught up and we start thinking that things belong to me. And so we start using that saying, "This is mine, mine, mine," instead of "ours." Case in point, how many of us have ever created anything out of nothing? Plain and simple, it's God who creates out of nothing. All of this throughout the whole universe is His, including you and including me. Keep this in mind as we begin this prayer with the "our." We cannot have God as our Father, realizing that, yes, He is the Father, the Creator of all things, without understanding that first word of "our." We are people living in community. We are not alone as Christians. We need to remember that God created all people. As many of you probably know, I just returned from a trip from China. Guess what? God created them also. Throughout the whole world, you'll have human beings who are created by God. But too often as Christians, one of the traps we fall into is we start thinking of ourselves as unique, the only one. This isn't something new to Christianity. We have to remember when Adam and Eve were in paradise, in the Garden of Eden, Adam lost his father in paradise. By sin, mankind was now separated from his heavenly Father. And not only did he lose his heavenly Father, he also lost the brotherhood of man. This is then seen by his children as Cain kills Abel in the book of Genesis. So not only do we have the fatherhood of God, we also have the brotherhood of man, because you can't say "our" referring to yourself. We have to remember we live in community. So no wonder why we have problems with the word "our." Our sinful nature kicks in and we don't want to use that word. We want to use the word "my." But please note, in the Lord's Prayer, Jesus did not say, "My Father, who art in heaven." Our notes that we are brothers because God creates all of life. From Acts chapter 17, verse 26, Luke reminds us, "And he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and boundaries of their dwelling place." Here in Acts, Luke reminds us, as we need to hear, that yes, we have one creating Father. Too often we get this concept of a loving Father a little mixed up, not only in our personal lives, but also in our theology. We have to remember that when Jesus died on the cross, he died on the cross not just for your sins, not just for the sins of the people here at Trinity Evangelical Lutheran Church in West Chicago, Illinois, not even just for the sins of those people who belong to congregations of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, but Jesus died on the cross for the sins of the entire world. Those people who live in other countries, those people who live down the block, those people who live in a place where you never have imagined, Christ died for them. Titus chapter 2, verse 11 reminds us, "For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people." Now, we understand that, yes, Christ died on the cross for the forgiveness of everybody's sins, but not everyone will be in heaven above. There are some people who reject this grace of God. But just because they reject that grace of God doesn't mean that we reject them. That's another trap as Christians we fall into. Actually, that's actually trap 2 and 3. Let me unpack that. Too often, sometimes Christians fall into one of the traps saying that since Christ died on the cross for the forgiveness of everyone's sins, everyone's going to be saved. And let me just back up by the answer by saying that is no. Only those who believe and trust in the death and resurrection of the Christ, Jesus, and believe that through that death and resurrection they have the forgiveness of sins, actually enjoy that grace of God. Yes, God wants all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of truth, and he made that possible through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. But God can't have those who are followers of him, those who are Christians, those who claim to be brothers and sisters in Christ, now not sharing that love and forgiveness with those who are still outside of this faith. That word "our" brings us back into a proper perspective, reminding us that yes, those people also need to hear God's grace in action. The fact that only a few are saved, as Matthew reminds us in chapter 7, verse 13 and 14, and that we are saved only by God's grace, does not invalidate the truth that, yes, God is gracious to all people. And because God is gracious to all people, having created all human beings, we likewise, as we come to our Heavenly Father, as we pray His prayer, should also likewise share that same love. In our relationship with God, yes, we are all children by the nature that God has created us, but to be members of the body of Christ now makes us a unique subset of all people. Because we are of this unique subset, because we are connected to the body of Christ, doesn't mean that we tear apart the rest of God's creation. Instead, we continue to show them love. We continue to show them forgiveness. Continue to show them the gifts of God that God has given to us. So consider sometimes an example I use in confirmation class of the selfish prayer. The prayer that says, "God bless me and my wife, our John and his wife, us four, and no more." How are your prayers? Do your prayers follow that same line of thought? "Lord, bestow all your blessings upon me, me, me." Sound like a little kid growing up. All they're concerned about is themselves. But as Christians, God wants us to do something different. Strangely, there's an old Jewish proverb. It's not in the Bible, okay? But it does relate well to our theme for today. An old Jewish proverb that says, "He that prays for another is heard for himself." It fits our theme for today, that God wants us to realize what that first word means, that there are other people out in this world, and God wants us to pray for them, to love them, to forgive them. It's interesting, most of us have heard in the Old Testament a book called Job, how Job was devoted to God. But in the midst of that devotion, he lost a lot of things. He lost a lot of property, a lot of family. He even lost his own health. He had three quote-unquote friends who came by. And at the end of Job, in Job chapter 42, verse 10, there's a peculiar verse. Let me read it to you. "And the Lord restored the fortunes of Job when he had prayed for his friends." It's interesting, in the midst of Job's sufferings and turmoils, in the midst of great pain and agony, he was thinking of himself, but when he finally prayed for his friends, who, as if you read the book of Job, really weren't very good at encouraging him, now his fortunes changed. Putting this back into perspective of the words, "Our Father," God wants to remind us and how important that word "our" is. Because if we just hang on to the selfish prayers, what happens to our faith? It starts falling apart. We start putting ourselves as the only God, that we're the only ones who matter. But God says, no. Let me set the record straight. God created all human life. All life is precious to him. When Adam broke that relationship of the fatherhood of God, Christ was the one who restored it. Christ was the one who threw himself the great chasm that sin brought to make that bridge. It was through Christ that now God comes to us, reconnecting us to the Father. And now, once we've been reconnected to the Father, God says, "I want to use you as the tools and instruments to share this love and forgiveness with those around." Here, let me quote from Malachi chapter 2, verse 10 to sort of bring this point home. But I'm going to use the King James Version just because I liked one of the words in this version. It says, "Have we not all one Father? Hath not one God created us? Why do we deal," and the magic word here is "treacherously, every man against his brother by profaning the covenant of our fathers?" Malachi needs to set us straight. He knew back then, and we need to hear it now, that yes, we don't treat our brothers very well. And I don't just mean our families or our friends, but even those who are enemies. Can we love and pray for our enemies? Well, how strong is your faith? Did not God die on the cross for the forgiveness of sins, even for your enemies? And wouldn't it be a great joy and delight from God's point of view to see your enemy in heaven above? Who's got the problem here? We are the ones with the problem. If we understand the word "our" correctly, and "our Father," it is "our" that takes the pride out of the rich. It is "our" that takes the envy from the poor. It is the word "our" that leads us to bear one another's burdens. There was a time in American history where we sometimes enjoyed the phrase that America was the world's melting pot. But do we enjoy that phrase very much nowadays? Too often it seems that, as I look around, we are very selfish in our riches that God has bestowed upon us. So what do? We come to our Lord and say, "Lord, have mercy." We come and pray the prayer that he gave us, "Our Father." We come to a Father seeking His grace and mercy and His love, not just for us because we need that forgiveness, because when it comes down to it, we haven't even been very good at praying the first word of the Lord's Prayer, our. And we say, Lord, have mercy upon us. Forgive us. Matthew chapter 5, verse 44 reminds us, as Jesus says, But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Yes, as we begin our Lord's Prayer, and some of you may be thinking it's going to be a long summer, maybe you shouldn't have gone on that vacation, we remember the hour in our Father. We do like to come before our God, seeking His gifts, seeking the forgiveness of sins because we've forgotten what the first word is, our, seeking His love, seeking His forgiveness. But I have to share with you a true story. It was on one of our plane rides in China. One of the flight attendants was wanting to practice his English and started a conversation with me. And then I was explaining about the girls. And then he looked at the girls and said, Who's your favorite parent, your father or your mother? To which the first words out of my mouth was, It depends who was the last one to discipline them. That's the truth. So it is with our Father. You know, when we come to our Lord seeking His good gifts, His love and His mercy, we do all right. But what happens when God, our Father, has to discipline us as a loving, caring Father? What happens then to our faith? Do we, like little children, then rebel and fall away? There's more to this our Father than just our relationship with other people. It's in our own personal relationship with God. We have to realize that, yes, we also need to be disciplined. Yes, God does give us wonderful gifts, but He doesn't give us everything we want. From a parent's perspective, I will admit, when my girls start bickering with each other, we call this sibling rivalry, I don't like it. Likewise, our Heavenly Father doesn't like it when we start bickering with other of His children and becoming hateful and resentful. Our Heavenly Father doesn't like it. As a parent, I love it when my daughters love each other, when they obey their parents, and when they're not selfish. Likewise, I'm sure our Heavenly Father wants us to love one another, to obey Him, and not be selfish with the good gifts that He gives to us. Yes, our Father does give us good gifts. And as we receive these gifts, what do we do with them? What do we do at the dinner table when it's a family-style type meal? Do we not take a dish, take some of the dish, and then pass it on? Likewise, with our Heavenly Father, He gives us His love. He gives us that forgiveness. And we take and we enjoy a portion of that love and forgiveness. And we say, thank you. And then what do? We pass it on. We share that love, that forgiveness, with the rest who are gathered. Let us pass on the gifts as we call upon our Father for His love, for His grace, and His mercy. There's a lot more words to the Lord's Prayer. Don't worry, I've got the rest of the summer. We'll cover it point by point. But as we come together, we say, Lord, thank you. Thank you for the many gifts that you have given. Help me to share that gift of love and forgiveness to those around us, and especially to those that I may be a little hesitant to share. They are the ones who need it the most. In His name, amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.